This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. My name is Dr. Megan Walker, and I have the pleasure of being your host and being on this journey with all of you. I want to welcome you to this podcast, to this very special place where we are going to explore the health and wellness issues of entrepreneurs, go-getters, innovators, people who are making a difference and trying to lead a life of change in this world. And I come to this place, and I come to this conversation based on so many experiences, but ultimately this dual track and this dual identity I've always led, which is being an entrepreneur and being a naturopathic doctor. And eventually these two worlds overlapped and they collided and they integrated and they brought me to where I am now, which is what I would consider an anthropologist, someone who is interested in the study of and the resolution and optimization of entrepreneurs. But this journey for me, where I came from and why I feel compelled to talk about this, this started a long time ago. It started when I was 7 or 8 years old and I was in grade 3, and I started something called the Ormsby Avenue Detective Agency. And we had cars that were speeding down our street, and we didn't know who belonged to these cars. We saw what house they went to, but we had no way of knowing who these people were, and we knew this was creating all sorts of distress for our parents. So myself, being the oldest of three siblings with some step-siblings and a blended family and some neighborhood kids, naturally as the oldest, I was going to corral everyone into this mission I had, which was to solve the crime of who was speeding down our road and keeping us from being able to play out in front of the house. And so what we did is we would follow this one particular car to its house, and it didn't occur to us to actually ask the person who they were, and we would watch them and we knew where they would live. And then we accessed the only database we had at that time, and that was this antiquated thing called a phone book. And for weekends, we'd each sit there with our phone books and we would go through them backwards to try to find the address that belonged to the car so that eventually we could find their phone number. And when we found their phone number, we were going to share that with our parents. And eventually we found the phone number and we were so excited and the person's name, and we brought it up to our parents. We said, listen, we know this is providing you pain and distress. We know this is a need for you, which is one of those classic things with entrepreneurism, is solving needs. And so we just wanted to let you know this is who the person is who lives at the end of the street. And our parents acted like they were so excited, and they're like, great, give us the number. We're going to give them a call. And noting at that moment the level of excitement and urgency in their voice to make this happen for us, I thanked them so much for their interest and then demanded payment for our work. And it was this moment that I was like, wow, we can identify what people need and we can solve a problem for them and then we can charge them for it. Now, little did I piece together at that time that my stepfather, being an intelligence officer, would have had access to this information. And the reality is they actually didn't care. But this kickstarted my journey. It kickstarted this desire to create things, to build things, to corral people. I used to have this book my mom would read me every night when I went to bed called Let's Talk About Being Bossy. And now we might reframe that as Let's Talk About Leadership. This was a journey that I had set out upon early. And as I grew up and as I was engaging in summer jobs and different experiences, it was a no-brainer for me that I would want to create my own business to pay for school. I grew up, my parents were divorced when I was young. I spent a lot of time growing up with my father, and he was an entrepreneur, and he had a huge amount of influence on me. When I was a kid, my allowance was tied directly to my acquisition of new financial acumen. So he came to me one day and he said, I have a business proposition for you. And he's like, you have to continue to do your chores around the house, but as you learn new things, he's like, in particular, I want you to learn about the management of money. It's like, you won't learn it in school. You're going to not necessarily learn it in life except through traumatic experiences. Let's be proactive. I want to teach you about it. And so every time I would read a book about finances and every time I was able to take it to the next level, my allowance increased accordingly. I always had to be able to speak about it. I always had to show that I understood what it was that this book was talking about. But it built this repertoire, this interest, and this dialogue about about finances and about money and about business and about entrepreneurship at a really young age. And so I had a few summer jobs growing up and I hated it. I would consider myself someone who's kind of fun to hang out with and easy to get along with, but I did not like working for other people. And so the opportunity came about where I could work for someone, but doing cleaning, basically as like an independent contractor for her up at the cottage. And I kind of loved this. I had total independence and I got to meet clients. And eventually she decided she didn't want to do this anymore. And I took over her business. And then I identified this really cool need. And that was people who lived on islands also wanted their cottage cleaned, but they couldn't access people to clean it. So I had this little tin boat and I'd get in my tin boat and I spread the word that myself and my team, I just made up that I had a team, would come to people's islands and would clean their cottages, and they loved it. And so no sooner did I start to announce this, but I did have a team, and I would drive people to these cottages and we'd clean their homes. And I love the idea of being able to be of service to people. I loved the idea of being able to drop off my team. And I especially loved the idea of being able to come back and sit on my dock while all of these people were doing this work and everyone was happy at the end of the day. Entrepreneurship was alive and well inside of me until it wasn't. And as I went through school and as I got more involved in taking initiative, because it's a little bit addictive, as most of you know, when you start to take initiatives, I got burnt out. And about 4 months before the theater group that I was working with was about to go to Germany, I hit a wall. I couldn't function. I couldn't go to school. No one could quite figure out what was wrong with me. Conventional medicine sort of went, we can't find anything, but I couldn't move. I was paralyzed. I was burnt out. And so someone suggested that I see a naturopathic doctor. I had grown up in a household that was always open to new options, but specifically didn't grow up with naturopathic medicine. And I said, sure, no problem. And I walked into the office of this naturopathic doctor, Dr. Don Warren in Ottawa. And I don't actually remember much of what he said at the beginning. And I don't remember the specifics, but I know we got to a point in the conversation where he said, look, you know, we can talk about how you've been feeling for the last few months, and specifically the last 2 weeks, because things had worsened. But I'm actually more interested in understanding how your body has historically responded to stress. Let's talk about the history of who you are. Let's talk about the inputs. And the world stopped for me. It was the smartest question I had ever heard with respect to health. Let's take a step back. Let's go upstream. Let's go around the corner to figure out why you fell in the first place. I don't remember what intervention he did. I could probably guess at this point what it was all about. Suffice it to say, 3 weeks later, I was on a plane with my theater group flying to Germany for this trip that I was so excited to participate in. But this huge shift had taken place inside of me. This huge understanding and this massive new paradigm had taken place. I had been trained, even at a young age, by a medical system that if you were fine, you were okay. It was the standard we were all okay with. You see your medical doctor, my doctor says I'm fine, and you're out the door. And suddenly someone opened my eyes to this notion that fine is the bare minimum that we should strive for with respect to our health. That there's this huge opportunity to address prevention before things get out of control, before we need to be reactive. Both are important, but I was fixated on the possibility and the potential of going upstream to start to deal with problems before they arose. And from then on, it didn't matter what I did and the amount of pressure that I had from people around me. I looked at law. I looked at just going into business. I looked at every possibility in terms of where I could go and how I could align my education. And I knew two things at that point when I left high school. I knew one, I was going to be an entrepreneur. I stunk at working for other people. I loved to create new initiative and solve problems. It was the first lens through which I wanted to pursue my journey. And the second was that I wanted to be a naturopathic doctor. So I studied biology. I had ended up with a focus in reproductive physiology, which has very little to do with what I do now. And then I went on to study naturopathic medicine, and I set up a clinic in Toronto. And a lot happened during that time. But when I set up this clinic with my incredible business partner named Aaron Wiley, we built this center called the Integrative Health Institute. And we modeled it philosophically from two perspectives and two key pieces of influence. One, we wanted it to be truly integrative. As a team, we wanted to be able to collaborate. So even the architecture of how we designed the space facilitated collaboration. And the second piece was is we wanted to give people access to health that didn't require a one-on-one visit. We wanted to give opportunities for people to participate in yoga classes or seminars or different pieces of health information acquisition or whatever you want to call it that didn't require this huge leap or this huge risk to sit across from people. And this ended up being a theme throughout my career. I think that sitting down with someone one-on-one is the end point of where we aim, but there are so many opportunities to engage with health, such as a podcast, right? Where we can really start to talk to people about health in a risk-free environment, start to shift their paradigm, start to address foundation without having to change everything right away. And we really wanted to address this because we had had the opportunity to practice primary care in South Africa. And while we were there, we had incredible opportunities. We helped to deliver babies. We worked with young couples who needed to speak to someone privately who they knew would never disclose to anyone about their HIV status. We were with people and had the extreme pleasure of being with them as they passed. And we sat down with families as they celebrated new arrivals into their family. It was a profound experience. But what we observed there is that the emotions and the feelings and the raw humanity, it's the same as here. And in fact, the disease is the same as here. It's just obvious. It's just on the surface. If you have a vitamin D deficiency in North America, then you find it on blood work. If you have a vitamin D deficiency in Africa, you have rickets. And so these observations of working with these people, we went, this is the same as people's experience of health, that people want access to healthcare, but it's below the surface here. They want to have an opportunity to dabble, as it were, to listen, to hear, to start to engage, to start to shift in a really safe way. And so it was really important to us that when we built this clinic, that we could facilitate that. And on the night before we opened the clinic, I remember saying to Aaron, I'm so excited and I love what we've built and it's incredible. And then I switched from that place that was passionate about healthcare and back to my entrepreneurial brain. And I said to her, I was like, you probably have 4 years out of me. And it wasn't because I didn't love working with her. It wasn't because I didn't believe in our vision. It was because I love to build things. That after four and a half years and having had a baby, I went, I need to find something else. And what I'm really interested in exploring is how technology can connect people to healthcare. And I had the opportunity to work in a health technology startup called Bright Almond as their CEO. And our role was to connect consumers to licensed and regulated practitioners online. I had the opportunity to fundraise. I had the opportunity for big wins and I had the opportunity for big losses. And all of this came together in terms of solidifying and engendering my entrepreneurial experience from every angle, the highs and the lows and the roller coaster and the emotional pieces. And eventually what it did with my private practice was, which I scaled back so I could make room for other things, is it meant that I almost exclusively worked with that population of entrepreneurs. I understood them. I got them. I wasn't going to be the ND who told them that they had to stop drinking coffee, that they had to go to bed by 8 o'clock. Finally, I've evolved to a place where these are things that maybe I've started to integrate into my own life. But I get it. I get where entrepreneurs are coming from and the unique health challenges that they have and the pressures and the perseverance that is so part of who they are. I fundamentally believe that when people are well, they can change the world. Well to me means that you are happy, that you are living with purpose, and that your daily needs physically are not getting in the way of you living this life and this dream that you have in front of you. It's in the desire to share this. It's in the desire to give people the information that enables them to live this life that I have started the Entrepology Podcast. We are going to come to you, and I say we, but what I really mean is me. I'm going to come and I'm going to share with you on a weekly basis the journey and the expertise of my friends, of experts, of people from around the world who have walked the journey of the entrepreneur, who have walked the journey of the hero's journey, as Joseph Campbell would say, in terms of putting themselves out there, of trying to create something that leaves this world a little bit better than how they found it. Sometimes that means people are running startups. Sometimes that means that people are running families. Sometimes that means that people are running charities. And sometimes that means that people are just wishing and waiting to make that leap, because entrepreneurs are hidden everywhere. They are not just in the startup community. They are sometimes locked in the ivory towers looking for the opportunity to get get out, or they're working in small businesses, or they're teaching in a classroom, but they have initiatives that they're running on the side. We are united with a mindset to change the world, to make it a better place, to create businesses and initiatives that match needs and take people to a place of greater ease. And it is this collective group of people that I want to support, that I want to help elevate, and that I want to help move to their absolute highest potential. I know that this is you. I know that this is who you are. And I know that deep down, you too have a mission and a purpose that you want to move forward. And I would invite you to join us, to join me on this journey on the Entrepology Podcast as we explore all of the issues that are going to take you to your highest place.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.